And welcome this morning to Unity of Washington, D.C. I am the Reverend Sylvia Elaine Sumter, and I'm so honored to be with all of you today, especially on this sweet and wonderful day. So once again, I want to wish all of you a happy Mother's Day. And as Reverend Eamon James said, even those of us who mother emotionally and have the time to mother out of our own hearts to whomever may come into our path, which means this is a day for all of us to celebrate Mother's Day, right? And I want to take this time to give a special shout out to my 91-year young mother, who is home right now, and she is watching this on her smartphone. So, yes, she's loving it. She checks just before I leave the house to make sure she knows how to get on YouTube. But I wanted to take this moment to give a special shout-out to her and to just let her know how much I truly love and value and appreciate her. And I'm so grateful and thankful that I still have this time to be with her. And especially now that this is quarantine, we're spending quite a bit of time together. And I thought, you know, when I wished her happy Mother's Day this morning, the first thing she told me was that she had heard from my two brothers. You know, one called and the other had texted her a card, and she was so happy. And I thought, this is just typical of mothers. Even though this is a day to celebrate and honor her, I guarantee you she's not really thinking about herself, but she's thinking about her three children. She's thinking about whether they are okay, whether they're safe, whether they're remembering to wash their hands. You know, we're all going back into the olden times when we were told constantly, go wash your hands. But she's there. And I thought, this is so sweet, because no matter how many times I tried to convince her that I'm good and grown and that she did a great job, but I'm good and grown, she still takes the time to remind me that she still has the right to remind me to do whatever it is, because she's still my mother. And she will always be my mother. And so I thought, yes, yes, yes. You know, I was coming down the steps to leave, and do you have everything you need? And don't be lax, she told me. Don't get lax, and watch what you're touching. And, you know, when I come in the house, whenever I've left, and I only leave to go shopping or I leave to come here to record for the Sunday service. But whenever I come in the house, she is at the door watching to make sure that I wash down the doorknobs, that I wash down everything that I touch, that I wash my hands, you know. And I said, I got the routine, Ma. I know what the routine is. But she's still my mother. And she's earned the right to remind me. And so I want to use this time to honor her. But then I also saw another video this morning as I was preparing. And it was about how to honor the mothers that were not so loving. And I thought, yes. Because oftentimes we are looking for the perfect mother, right? Society says this is what a mother should be, or this is what a father should be, or this is what a perfect child would be, or this is what a friend would be, this is what a wife is to be, this is what a husband is to be, and so on and so forth. We have all of these parameters and this concept of what we think the perfect expression of a particular person or job or role should be. And so we look to our mothers to be perfect, and maybe we're upset because we might have experienced less than that perfect unconditional love from our mothers. And what this sage was saying is that stop looking for that perfect being, because they too are a soul like we are. And they too have come through life's ups and downs and disappointments, and they too have experienced joys but suffering and pain and disillusionment, and out of that they have come to share their gifts with us, sometimes on point and sometimes missing the point. But while we're looking for the perfect mother, have we been the perfect child? You know, I want to have the perfect mother, but there are times that I might say, oh my gosh, She's telling me to wash my hands again. Whereas the perfect child, as she reminds me, would say, oh, yes, thank you for that reminder. So it's not that we're going to be perfect people, whether we're mothers or whatever, but we want to offer the best of who we are, and knowing that we have this opportunity to grow and to unfold. And so I was thinking, as we celebrate something like Mother's Day or Father's Day or Grandparents' Day, let us not look for perfection, but let us honor the imperfection within the concept of what it means to be perfect. So that our love has a measure of openness and acceptance and a willingness to embrace the whole being. Because before she was my mother, she was a person and a human being. And as she is still my mother, guess what? She's still a perfect person and a human being with dreams and desires and wishes and wants and disappointments and disillusionment and hurt. So I don't want to hold her to a standard that I myself might not be able to even meet. I want to hold her in love. I want to hold all those who are in my life with love. So I think that's a perfect message for us as we are moving in these interesting times, that we want to honor the soul, we want to honor the spirit as we are unfolding. But today is the day that we're focusing on motherhood. And I also spent some time thinking about Ahmaud Arbery's mother. Some of you may be aware this was the young man who was shot and killed as he was jogging in his neighborhood. And I was thinking about his mother, for this is the first Mother's Day that she will experience not having her son with her. And it was his birthday a couple of days ago. So she also is now being reminded of his birth and of his death while trying to experience Mother's Day at the same time and still fighting for justice for her son. Justice. And I thought, these are such challenging times that we are living in. And I had titled this series that we're engaged in, that I introduced last week, as Timeless Tips for Transcending These Times. Timeless Tips for Transcending These Times, meaning that we're going to be able to handle them and we have to move through them, above and beyond them, to continue with this journey that we are on. And I was thinking, well, this is Mother's Day, and I didn't want to stop the series, but certainly there are certain qualities of motherhood that, or mothers that exhibit, that we could benefit from and that we could actually use during this time, this time that we're in. And I was thinking about, well, what would be the qualities of motherhood? And when I speak of motherhood, again, I'm talking about a state of being, a state of mind, a state of consciousness. So we all have the state of motherhood within us, just as we all have the state of fatherhood or being divine children of God. So I thought, well, we're focusing right now on the qualities of being of motherhood. What does it mean to be a mother? And somehow what came to mind, the first quality that came to mind to me that we could use during this time was the quality of strength. Strength. Mothers have to be strong. Strong, right? And then I wanted to say, but it's not the same kind of strength that our brothers have. Our brothers have a physical strength and prowess that are germane to their makeup and their being. Men are strong physically. But mothers also have strength, although a different kind of strength. It's a strength that speaks to resiliency, that ability to keep on keeping on, that ability to sort of push through whatever limits there are when it comes to family and children. A mother's going to push through. She's going to make a way out of no way. She will find the way to make sure that she can feed her children and that her brood are taken care of. There's a strength that is born of motherhood. It's a spiritual strength that allows them to dig deep within themselves to find the grounding and the strength that they need to move forward and to forge ahead for family, for hearth and home, for keeping things together. And so I'm thinking, well, we could use that kind of strength, could we not? During these times, we need the strength to be able to keep on keeping on. We need this sense of resiliency because there are times when we all feel like we want to just, oh my gosh. But we want to have this ability to be resilient because this is not the time to complain about the way things are and how they are now and how they were before. This is a time of being resilient into forging new ways of being, to be able to make do. See, mothers know how to make do, right? I'm going to take this one can of beans and I'm going to make it do. I'm going to give it my best. So this is a time for us to have that sense of resiliency, the strength to make something do, right? With whatever is available to make a way out of no way. That's a strength that we are looking for. And so I was thinking, if we want to have this quality, so to honor our mothers, I want us to begin to affirm this. I am strong and resilient. I can and will make a way out of no way. I am strong and resilient. I can and I will make a way out of no way. That's digging in deep into your motherhood qualities, into the consciousness of the strength of being a mother. I am strong and resilient. I can and I will make a way out of no way. Of course, we do that as we also center ourselves in God and open our consciousness up to the divine and infinite wisdom of God for guidance and direction. Because a mother's going to listen for direction and guidance so that she can share that with her children. So we have strength, the quality of strength. And I was thinking that there's another quality, believe it or not, that I feel goes hand in hand with strength and motherhood that would certainly serve us well in this time that we're living in, and that's the quality of patience. Lord, make me patient and make me patient now, right? I want patience and I want it when I want it now. But if you are a mother and you have had the experience of raising children, be it one or ten, I'm sure that there has been some time in that process where you have pleaded, Lord, give me some patience. Because we as children, you know, we try one another's patience, our mother's patience, our father's patience. But patience is not just this, that saying is cute, but patience is very powerful. It is a spiritual quality I'm talking about, right? It's a spiritual quality. And great mothers have great patience. They understand this wonderful quality. There's a gentleman by the name of Edward Bulwark Lytton who said this. He said, patience is not passive. On the contrary, it is active. It is concentrated strength. I love that. Patience is not passive. On the contrary, it is active. It is concentrated strength. So when you have patience, you are honing your energy and what I said, you're focusing and harnessing your energy in a state of expectancy coupled with the ability to wait. That's what patience is. This is my definition of patience. It is the ability to harness and focus your energy in a state of expectancy coupled with the ability to wait. So patience isn't just some active idle, inactive idle or passive waiting. It is different. It is being in a state of expectancy coupled with the ability to wait. To wait for the divinely right time for things to unfold, to wait for that guidance and that direction. It's an active waiting. I'm listening. I'm here. I'm ready to move when it's my time to move. It's not I'm being patient because I'm just sitting and just hoping things will work out. I am harnessing and focusing. It's concentrated. He said it was concentrated strength. I'm saying it's harnessed and focused energy, but harnessing that energy with the expectation coupled with the power to wait. I expect and I'm waiting. That's patience. I'm expecting and I'm waiting. You see, that's a powerful thing to have. And so while we're in the midst of this expecting and waiting, here's the quality of consciousness that we should do it in, that there must be an inner calm and an inner centeredness. Because patience means while I'm waiting, there's an inner calm and an inner centeredness of my consciousness, which then if there's an inner centeredness and a calmness and an openness and I'm waiting and a readiness and I'm waiting, then I can allow things to manifest. It's not an anxious waiting. Ooh, you see, we laugh about my mom when she used to wait when I would go out and hang out when I was in my younger days. She'd be waiting for me to come, but it was an anxious waiting. She'd be by the window, wringing her hands and with anxiety, waiting to see me come around the corner. Right? This is not that kind of waiting. This is a waiting because, see, anxious waiting doesn't yield anything fruitful. But patient waiting with expectation and waiting together can yield the fruit of the Spirit. It yields something powerful and something beautiful that we have. So it's not anxious waiting. It's waiting with expectancy and yet the patience to wait for it to unfold. There's power in patience. The scripture says this in Isaiah 40, 31, a very familiar quote. And it says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up with wings as eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and faint not. One of my favorite scriptures, because we think waiting is being passive, but in this waiting, you are being strengthened. They that wait upon the Lord shall mount up with wings as eagles. Something is happening in the waiting process. Something is strengthening your spirit while you're waiting, so that when the time is right, you can mount up with wings as eagle. When the time is right, you'll be able to run and not be weary. See, the waiting, you're building up that reserve of energy that's going to allow you to walk your path, walk your journey, and not faint. This is powerful stuff that is happening. Last week, we talked about not getting into this state of worry and anxiety. So this isn't an anxious waiting. We talked about not allowing ourselves to enter into the state of worry and anxiety. But as the scripture says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. That was the scripture we worked with last week. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. But I want us to understand the prayer that we're speaking of. It's not an anxious prayer. It's not a begging prayer. It's not a doubting prayer. It is praying with expectancy, right? Expecting the good. And then having the patience to wait for it to unfold and manifest. See, sometimes we pray, but then we get anxious that it hasn't manifested in the time that we think it should manifest. And so we begin to dig up the prayer. I planted some prayer seeds, but look, I don't see anything blooming. I don't see anything showing up in my life and affairs. Pray with expectancy and then have the patience to let the good manifest. When? In the divine right time. In the divine right way. Waiting and expecting the fulfillment to take place. Positive expectation and an affirmation of its manifestation. That sounds like, what was that? Positive expectation. I'm expecting the good and affirming its manifestation. I'm expecting it and I'm going to affirm it, but I also am waiting expectantly for my good, having faith that it will show at the right time and in the right way. Because when we're able to hold those thoughts, this is what fills us with energy when you pray with that kind of conviction. I'm speaking it, I'm expecting it, and I'm waiting for it. That gives us energy, right? I'm speaking it, I'm affirming it, I'm claiming it, I'm expecting it, and I'm waiting for it. That fills us with energy. Because if you don't come at it from that point of view, being able to wait expectantly, then we get anxious, fearful, doubtful. And that is the energy that then dissipates your prayer. That is the energy that dissipates your prayer. It nullifies them and it delays your good. It can even eliminate your good because now you're off into vibrations that are contrary to what it is you are seeking and desiring. So we want to understand that timing is everything. I'm waiting and expecting, but I'm allowing it to unfold in the right and perfect time and in the right and perfect way. Here's a quote from Ying Jin, and I love this. This quote was from Ying Jin, and it was actually recorded in 1150 BCE. Now, I don't know who was around in 1150 BCE to record this, but this is what I got from one of my resources from this gentleman named Yi Jin. And he said, when clouds form in the skies, we know that rain will follow, but we must wait for it. Nothing will be achieved by attempting to interfere with the future before the time is ripe. Patience is needed. Nothing, right, will be achieved by attempting to interfere with the future before the time is ripe. Patience is needed. You're going to plant a seed. It makes no sense to dig it up before the time is ripe. Right? And I was thinking about what is taking place on, or at least in our country, I won't say on the planet, with all of this impatience about having to shelter in place. There's an impatience. We want to get back to work. We want to make things normal. We want to get out. We want to get back. We want to do. We don't want to stay in the homes. There's an impatience. But to do that before the time is ripe will do nothing, friends, but halt our healing. It's like digging up something before its time. So we must shelter in place, but why be so hurried to get into the future when you're just simply going to destroy the process and the possibility for healing of this planet? Are we that impatient that we cannot wait? Do we have the patience to expect and know that the good is going to manifest in the right time and at the right time? Place and pace. But let us not be so impatient that we are going to destroy our own selves by leaping and rushing into the future before the time is ripe. And is this time challenging us? Yes. We're in the midst of a great transformation, and change is never easy. We're in the midst of, do you understand? We are in the midst of a global world transformation. That life is changing, and our way of life is changing. And we must allow the process to unfold in the right and perfect time, way, and place. So to do so before it is time is to destroy the process. And so we want to give Mother Earth, because she knows what she's doing. She's taking this time to renew and replenish and restore herself. And she's saying, children, I am Mother, the great Mother. I feed you. I nourish you. I allow you to have life and to grow. Now you must be patient and wait with expectancy that it will be all right. But I am renewing and restoring myself so that I can feed you. But you must renew and restore, not to the old, but to the new, so that you can find a new way of being and living in harmony with me. This is powerful time that we're in. And we don't want to rush the process. We want to honor it. We don't want to force our way out into the world when it is not time for us to be in that capacity. I was thinking about the caterpillar and who goes into and creates a chrysalis, right? It is sheltered what in place so that this transformation can happen for itself. And it goes into a chrysalis, and it has to be in there for a certain length of time for the transformation of its soul and of its being and of its body and of its nature to be completely different. And what would happen if we go into the chrysalis before it's time and we tear it up and we say, I want to see the butterfly, and we tear it open before it is time? We destroy the possibility of butterflies, right? You cannot go into the chrysalis before it's time. And what about baby chicks that are trying to, they're sheltered in place. They're in a little egg, right? And we see, well, where are you? It's time. You need to come on out. I'm going to help you by cracking your shell so that you can have freedom. You can get out and do what you want to do. So I'm going to help you along. I'm going to crack this egg, your shell, that you're sheltered in place in, right? And if I crack that egg and say, come on out, baby chick, now you're free, won't be a baby chick. Because the process that chick needs to undergo while in its own chrysalis, but in its own shell, is to strengthen it. And as it, when the time is right, it then breaks out of its shell. But you can't even help it do that when it's breaking its shell, because it is the pushing and it is the strengthening to get out that strengthens that chick and gives it the opportunity to survive once it's out. Expectancy. Patience. This is what we are being given at this time, and it's such a powerful time. Why are we trying to rush the process? You can't plant the seed and dig it up at the same time without giving it the time to be nurtured and to grow roots and to grow shoots and to grow leaves and to do its thing, to be transformed from a seed into a fruit or a tree or a plant. It needs time. We are being given time to transform our being, to actually become new creations. But we must wait. We must wait as we shelter in place, because we are sheltering in place. But while we're doing that, we're building consciousness. We're building the strength of character we're going to need in this new world. We're building the energy to have the power of our mind to be able to hold a certain thought and then have it manifest. We're building a new way of being as spiritual, empowered beings on the planet, able to speak a word and have that word manifest. But we have to let ourselves shelter and to wait patiently as we are strengthening new wings, developing wings. We got to wait in place as we begin to gather the strength to run and not be weary. We're doing now, what we're doing now is we're gaining the strength, we're building the strength of our legs so that we can walk with purpose, walk with vision, and not get tired. See, this is a new human that is being built, a new earth that is being built. We have to be patient with the process. That's what we're being called to do. It's an exciting time, and I'm hoping that you're using it well. I'm looking at all my areas of needed growth and strength at this time. I'm looking at what are my flaws. See, the things that I normally think I don't have time to look at, I'm looking at. Well, what flaws have you that you need to work on to develop? This is the time to do it. Yeah. Oh, okay. I get triggered over here. Let me work on that. See, this time is also showing you your growth edges, your growth areas. Maybe you're with people in the house and you're becoming impatient with one another. Look at that. Work with that. Maybe you're in the house by yourself and you're feeling lonely and isolated and disconnected. Work with that. See, what is it? Maybe you're thinking, I don't have enough food. I don't have. Work with that. How to call that forth. What do you need to do? Ask someone for help, go to a food bank. Work with what is before you because it is building strength. It is building strength. Be patient with the process because this is a powerful thing. As mothers give birth to new life, we are birthing something beautiful, but we're in the womb. Shelter in the womb. Or under the wings of the Almighty. And when it is time, we shall be born into something new and beautiful. So I want to wish us all a happy and a blessed Mother's Day as we affirm and nurture life itself. Bless someone today, whether it be your mother, someone else's mother, whether it's yourself, mother yourself, but gain these principles of strength and patience, expectancy and waiting, and we will come out of this strong, whole, healthy, and well, and holy beings. Happy Mother's Day. Namaste and blessings.